Our scripture reading for this morning that you can find in the Gospel according to John chapter 8. The Gospel according to John chapter 8 and from verse 1 to verse 11. And here is the word of our God. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Thus far we read the holy, the beautiful, and powerful, and infallible word of our Lord. So dear church family, I want to ask you a question in the beginning. How can mercy and justice be harmonized? How can mercy and justice be harmonized? Consider a kind person who has a very good reputation and one day accidentally kills someone, and he is sentenced to the death penalty. You may think, there's no mercy in this case. Too much condemnation. However, consider a criminal intentionally kill someone, and the judge just put him into jail for like 1 year. Then you may think, there is no justice in this case. Too much mercy, no justice. Indeed, mercy and justice seems like two opposite elements that cannot be balanced and harmonized together. However, in our text today from John 8, 1 to 11, especially from verses 10 to 11, one of the most beautiful and comforting narrative in the gospel, namely the woman caught in adultery, was touched by mercy of Jesus by grace. We will see such a picture that mercy and justice were harmonized in Jesus Christ, who is the just and the justifier. Our theme today is Jesus and the adulterous woman. I will address this into 3 points. First, sin exposed. Second, mercy granted. And third, command followed. So sin exposed, mercy granted, and command followed. So from the previous chapters, they give us the context that those Jews are very offended by Jesus' earthly ministry. Especially just several days ago, Jesus just healed a lame person on Sabbath day. After failing to kill Jesus, those groups, those Pharisees and Jews hardened their heart and came up with another conspiracy. From the text, we can know that the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Jesus a woman taken in adultery when Jesus was teaching in the temple early morning. They put her in the midst of the temple where so many people were watching. So the sin of this woman was exposed publicly before everyone. Obviously, she broke the seventh command. And according to the law, she should be stoned, as Moses speaks this in Deuteronomy 22, verses 21 to 24. However, from this picture, we see a more grievous and heinous sin of scribes and Pharisees were also exposed. Those people, they ask Jesus not for justice, but they say, as the text says, testing him that they might have something to accuse Jesus. How terrible they are. They took the name of God in vain. Why? Because they used the law improperly. They used the law not for his glory, but as a tool for them, for their own gain. They broke also the sixth commandment because they killed this woman by treating her eyes as an item with no respect. They bore false witness as well, because according to the law, according to the Moses law, both adulterous man and woman should be condemned. But in the picture, we see the man is missing here. Why? Because their intention is not justice. They just want to test Jesus. So the man is missing here, only woman here. And also they broke the first commandment because they do not acknowledge Jesus as Son of God. On the contrary, they wanted to test him, to tempt him, and to accuse him. As we continue to see, Jesus, the Son of God, dealt with them with his perfect wisdom to answer their wicked question. So here, both yes or no would be bad answers. If Jesus answered no, then they would accuse him to break and diminish the law of Moses. However, if Jesus answered yes, then it would compromise his teaching of grace. Then they will say, look, this man who says he's merciful, who says those who are needy come to him, then he will condemn those people. If Jesus says yes, then it will compromise his teaching. And moreover, they would also accuse Jesus to the Romans as one who usurped the prerogative of putting criminals to death, because he has no right, judicial right, to put someone to death. So no matter Jesus says yes or no, they can't have something to accuse Jesus. However, Jesus, firstly, as we see the text, acted silently. However, they continued to ask him, and then Jesus answered, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." So here we need to be careful. Jesus is not destroying the whole judicial system. And he is not forbidding people to correct the sins of others. Jesus spoke here to expose their hypocritical hearts. As one reformer comments this way, Jesus is using of his spiritual office against hypocrites, showing that they are, by the law and before God, no less guilty and worthy of condemnation than this adulteress. For those scribes and Pharisees, they thought themselves as law keepers. They have the right to judge others because they knew the law very well, and they taught the law very well and so professionally, and they thought they kept the law so strictly. But now Jesus used the law of Moses, which they boast for, to expose their sinful nature and to expose their hypocrisy. Jesus' answer here is saying that if any of you have never transgressed the law, if any of you have never committed malicious sin, if any of you have never committed adultery like this woman, then you can cast a stone to her. And we see the sin of scribes and Pharisees is exposed by Jesus also publicly in front of others. Because as the text says, they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. By God's law, through their limited conscience, they know they're all guilty. No one is innocent under the God's law. No one can be declared as sinlessness. The woman caught in adultery, she is sinner. These scribes and Pharisees, they are sinners. And dear friends, each of us today, here, sitting here or standing here, our sin also were exposed by God's law. As we read the God's law every Sunday, we know that we are sinners by the law of God. We know that we are all sinners. Dear friends, we were born and conceived as sinners. Without God's grace, what we do and did is sinning against the Lord because we cannot keep the law by ourselves. Who now can say that I never commit adultery? Who can say today, in your heart, in your thought, who can say that I never be jealous to others people, to others? Who can say today, sitting here, who can say I love my neighbor so perfectly? Who can say that? Who can say that I perform the Ten Commandments so perfectly? I don't think so. No one would be able to say so. Galatians 3:22, the Bible says, but the Scripture has confined all under sin. Confined all under sin. Those scribes and Pharisees under sin, the woman under sin, and you and I know better. By nature, we are all under sin. And moreover, dear church family, we should be very careful about the wicked sin of hypocrisy. We should always examine ourselves. Maybe you think you are not bad as the scribes and Pharisees because they accused Jesus. However, when we examine ourselves, how many times we accuse those who are loved by Jesus. We may not accuse Jesus, but we accuse those who are loved by Jesus, our fellow believers. How many times we judge improperly to others. How many times when you sit here, listen to the sermon preaching, and hear one application, immediately you think about that guy should be changed. When you hear the sermon, you are hearing for others. You think, I'm okay, I'm good, but he or she needs to be changed. By nature, we do not esteem others better than ourselves in lowliness of mind. On the contrary, we are so prone to expose others' sin and to hide our sin, thinking we are so good. Or at least, I'm not that terrible as that person. We all have this kind of hypocritical heart sometimes. We need to be watchful. We're so easy to find out others' sin with wrong motivation and wrong purpose. I need to clarify here. I said with wrong motivation and wrong purpose. Why? Because the Bible also tells us that we should correct each other. We should rebuke each other when we see a fellow believer has committed sin. We need to do that. But we should not judge him or her with a wicked heart. We should not judge her or him as we are good. We should do so with a loving heart. We should do so for the glory of God. We should do so desiring that person can be changed so that he or she can be conformed to the image of Jesus more and more. That is our motivation and purpose. Instead, many times we do so not for God's glory, not for that person's benefit, but for our satisfaction. So often, we desire to expose the sin of that person so that my heart can be satisfied. So, dear church family, we need to be watchful. And we need to come to Jesus to repent of our sin of hypocrisy. Pray that God give us a loving and humble heart. Pray to the Holy Spirit to empower you, empower me to love God and love our neighbors. And always remember that without God's grace, without God's mercy, we are all under God's wrath. We are all under sin. Then what? Are we all hopeless and helpless? Is that woman hopeless? Not being condemned by those hypocrites, but waiting for the condemnation of Jesus Christ. Indeed, in this picture, Jesus Christ is the only one who is sinless and perfect. And He is the only one standing there. He has the right to condemn sinners. However, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the most merciful and tender Son of God, He shows His great compassion to this poor lady. He talked to her with such tenderness and meekness. "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Dear church family, how beautiful it is. Jesus Himself speaks in John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." This must be the sweetest words in this world. "Neither do I condemn you." How sweet it is. God's mercy freely granted to this adulterous woman. "Blessed are they whose iniquity are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Children among us, imagine that when you broke something at school because of your fault, and you expect your parents' discipline. However, your parents forgive you and pay for the broken object. How happy you must feel. Thus, likewise here, as Heinrich Bullinger beautifully puts this way, by this beautiful statement, Jesus did not just declare that He would by no means demand her punishment, but also that He pardoned her guilt and remitted her sins, releasing her from the just condemnation of God, by which those who sin against God's law are sentenced to eternal torment. "Neither do I condemn you." Maybe some of you may have questions. Then God is not just. How can Jesus Christ justify what this woman has done as nothing has happened? How can Jesus dismiss the law's command, law's demand for judgment? The answer is in Jesus and His sacrificial work on the cross. Justice of God is paid by Jesus' death on the cross. Because He bore all iniquities of His people, He was cursed so that all His people would not be cursed. He was condemned by the Jews so that everyone in Him will not be condemned by His Father. Mercy of God is also shown in this picture in Jesus. When He died on the cross, He died not because He sinned, but for those needy sinners. All believers' sin would be removed by His death. And all God's people are justified by Jesus as His death. Those people, those believers, they now have righteousness imputed by Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Jesus is saying here, woman, neither do I condemn you because I will be cursed, because I will be condemned for you. What an amazing grace. This is the heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. This is the picture the psalmist says in Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Dear believers, do you see and taste the love of Christ again? God commend His love toward you when you were yet sinners. Jesus died for you. It's not because how good you are. No, as we have seen in the first point, all of us are sinners and are under sin. There is no beauty, no purity in us. The reason that Jesus died for you, dear believer, it's because of His merciful love to you. Just like this woman caught in adultery, it is definitely not because of her good work. No, she committed adultery. But because God's saving mercy touched upon her freely, and she trusted Jesus as a redeeming Savior. Although we do not know exactly in which moment of this story that this woman was born again, but from much evidence, we know that this woman's eyes have been opened to understand that she was in the presence of her redeeming Lord. Thus, we see she did not leave Christ. The first evidence, she did not leave Christ. Second, she professed her as Lord instead of teacher or master. And third, because of her vindication proclaimed by Jesus. Therefore, dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus and the statement of Jesus should give you tremendous comfort in this life. Jesus died for you. Died for you as such a filthy sinner. And no condemnation for you if you are a true believer. Dearly beloved, this comforting truth should give you confidence and courage to be His witness in this world. This world hates you, but what can man do to you if the Lord is on your side? Yes, many people today, or your own conscience, or Satan, many times condemn you, but then what? So what? Your Lord does not condemn you. And that is enough. Therefore, dear believers, find your rest and find your peace in Jesus Christ alone, and always abide in Him. However, dear friends, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your own Savior and your own Redeemer, imagine that if you were there, what would you do? Would you leave Jesus just like those scribes and Pharisees? When they were convicted that they are sinners, they just laughed. If you were there, would you just leave Jesus? When you hear hundreds of times preaching, when you read the law of God so many times, will you harden your heart? From the word, you just know, okay, I'm a sinner. Then you just leave? Will you just leave Jesus and not coming to the feet of Jesus Christ? Oh, dearly beloved, dear friends, you should know that the fountain of life is Jesus Christ. There is no other way that you can find for salvation. He is the only remedy for your sin. A mere conviction by your own conscience cannot save you. Only knowing that I am a sinner cannot save you. But only the law of God which convicts you and leads you toward Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ Himself can save you. Dear friends, if you do not find your rest in Jesus Christ, the Bible says clearly you will perish in your own unbelief. Dear friends, come to the throne of Jesus, crying out for His mercy to touch upon you, crying out that I am a poor, needy sinner. I need You, Lord. And maybe some of you have another question. If Jesus does not condemn His people, then they can do whatever they want. Because anyway, Jesus has already taken their place. Today, many people would argue this, that if you are Christian, you can do whatever you like. Because Jesus is so merciful, and He will anyway forgive you. No, God forbids. Because as mercy granted, his command also followed. Go and sin no more. In other words, Jesus is saying, woman, go in peace, because now your sins have been forgiven. But now you are put in a new life. Thus, do not keep sinning. Do not keep sinning. However, Jesus' commandment does not indicate that redeemed believers are perfect. No, we are still often sinned against the Lord many times because of our remaining sin, because of our own flesh. When we still live in this world, we keep sinning. We always sin against the Lord. This is what Paul experienced in Romans 7, that the good that I would, I do not. God's child can be only perfect when we see the Lord face to face in glorification. However, Jesus is saying that a true believer, as John writes in his letters, should not live in sin, should not keep enjoying sin, should not keep as habitually committing sin. This is what Jesus means here. Forsake sin. Die to sin. Not only to adultery, but all of sin that is against my commandment. Live a sanctified life to glorify me, because I have set you free. Free from the bondage of sin. Dear believers in the Lord, this is also the command for each of us. It is not optional. Here, Jesus used imperative. It is a command. If you are truly a God's child, you must go and sin no more. Because you are purchased by His blood. You belong to Him now. You used to belong to Satan, but now you belong to Him. You used to enjoy sin, but now you were delivered by His grace into the light. You were living in sin, but now you were born again for new life by God's grace. So you do not sin anymore. You are dead in sin and now have new life in Christ. Therefore, sin no more. Sin no more, because your Master, your Lord, is Jesus. Sin no more, because you could not help yourself to sin before, but now you have liberty in Christ, and you are able to do His will by the work of the Holy Spirit. Sin no more, because your Lord, who sacrificed His life for you, hates sin. Children, do you enjoy hurting your parents who love you so much? You can ask yourself, do you enjoy hurting your parents who love you so much and who do everything for you? I don't think so. Likewise, dear believers, always meditate on the sacrificial work of your Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who gave His life for you. Then you will not enjoy sinning against Him. Sin no more and live for Him. However, dear believers, you must know it is not because your ability that you can sin no more. It is by His power. It is by His saving grace. God's saving grace is the ground of your sanctification. You must know this. Not for those Arminian theology, but justification is the foundation of your good work. Notice that Jesus did not say, "Go and sin no more, and I will not condemn you." Jesus did not say this. If Jesus says, "Go and sin no more, and I will not condemn you," then every one of us today will be condemned. Because who is able? By nature, who is able to sin no more? But the good news is Jesus said the opposite. "I will not condemn you." That's justification. "And go, sin no more." That's sanctification. Because He loves you first, so that you can love Him. Remember, we should always remember, without Christ, without His grace, without His mercy, we can do nothing. We could not earn salvation by our own works. No, it is all by His grace. Only when you justified before God first, only when you have union with Christ first, only by the saving work of the Holy Spirit, then you are able to put sin to death and do good works by His grace. Therefore, dear congregation, I want to challenge each of us today to examine ourselves. Do I love Christ? Do I submit myself unto the Lord, abiding in Him? Do you regard Him as your Lord? Just as this woman confessed and professed, "Lord." Or do you think, "I am a Christian, but still love sin. Still depend on your own ability, your own knowledge, trying to merit anything?" Dear church family, we should come to the Lord humbly, knowing that we are truly miserable. We are truly needy sinners who need grace every day, who need mercy every day. You should always come to Christ, the fountain of life, the fountain of mercy, the fountain of your sanctification. Remember, dear believers, you are unable to do anything apart from Him. But now, you are able to sin no more because of His grace, because of His power in you, because of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. As I conclude our sermon today, let's go back to the first question. Can mercy and justice be harmonized? Yes. They are harmonized in Jesus Christ. And it is summarized so well and so beautifully in Belger Confession, Article 20. I will read it here, the whole second paragraph. "God therefore manifested His justice against His Son when He laid our iniquities upon Him, and poured forth His mercy and goodness on us who were guilty and worthy of damnation. Out of mere and perfect love, giving his Son unto death for us, and raising him for our justification, that through him we might obtain immortality, and life eternal. The woman caught in adultery should be condemned by God according to the law. By nature, all of us today should be condemned according to God's holy word. But because of Jesus, because of his work on the cross, all of his people who have personal relationship with him shall never be condemned and might obtain eternal life. Dear church family, this is our merciful Lord. And this is the essence of the gospel. This is the greatest news in this world. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much. We thank thee so much for sending thy Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Lord, we confess according to thy word, according to thy holy law, none of us can stand firmly. No. By nature, we should be all condemned by thee. All of us are under thy wrath. But Lord, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his work, now thy wrath has been satisfied. Because of his work, now we can call thee Abba Father. Oh, what a beautiful Savior we have. So Lord, help us to continue to meditate on the work of our Lord, so that we as thy child can be comforted every day, so that we can come to our Lord Jesus Christ daily to seek for his grace and mercy, knowing he is our merciful Savior who said unto each of us as his child, neither do I condemn you. And Lord, for those who do not believe thee, please also open their heart, knowing they are condemned. If they still live in their sin, they will be condemned to eternal death. So Lord, give them a repentant heart to thee. Help them to turn their back unto thee. Oh Lord, we confess there is no other way to salvation. So Lord, help us to see thy justice, and also to see thy mercy. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.